Welcome to North Star Church. At North Star, our desire is to lead people to follow Jesus Christ and not simply go to church, but to be the church. The following message was recorded and produced at our Blacksburg, Virginia campus. You can find more information about North Star, including recent podcasts, news, upcoming events, and so much more at northstarfamily.org. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
Amen. Come on, clap your hands to that. Amen. Praise the Lord. The great I am, the great I am. There is no one beside him. He is God Almighty. The great I am. You know the story when Moses went to God sent him to Pharaoh. He says, Pharaoh, who do I tell Pharaoh sent me? God says, tell him the I am sent you. Praise God. Listen, what that means is that God is everything who we need him to be in our lives. He is the great I am. He is a very present help, praise God, in the time of trouble. He is the great I am, none beside him. He has no equal. He has no rival. He is the great I am. Come on, give God glory in the house today. He's worthy. Praise the Lord. He's worthy to be praised. Amen. Come on, let's thank God for Lissa and the worship band again. What a great job, a marvelous job, amen, of ushering in the Holy Spirit here in this place. Well, I'm so grateful. I greet you today in the name of our Father and Lord Jesus Christ and to the Holy Spirit, the one who never speaks of himself. It is a joy to be here. I'm so grateful. My wife is here with me as well, Redonda. Can y'all thank God for my wife? Amen. Of 35 years, she's been putting up with me. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so she's a strong woman of God. Praise the Lord. And it is a blessing to have you here with me. And also to the angel of this church, your pastor, Pastor Jeff Noble. Man, can you believe that? A brother to me, praise God. We had a wonderful privilege. He and his wife, Carol, we were out with dinner yesterday, and my mom called. And so I'm talking to my mom. I said, Mom, guess what? I said, I'm with my cousin. And she said, who? I said, Jeff. She says, Jeff? She says, I don't know Jeff. I said, yeah, Jeff Noble. He lives in Virginia. She said, well, I don't know him. I said, well, he's a distant cousin. It's okay. It's okay. So I let her speak to Jeff, and they met each other over the phone, and so it was just a wonderful time. So I don't know if y'all, if your pastor told you all this, but we're actually from the only state that God named in the Bible. Noah looked out of the ark and saw. Some of y'all can get that going back to Christianburg, praise God. Arkansas, that's exactly right. So if you ever want to know where Noah's Ark landed, right there in the capital of Little Rock, Arkansas. Amen, praise the Lord. No, not really, that's not true. But he was on one side of the city and I was on the other side and we never crossed. But it is just a blessing. And so through dinner, as he mentioned, you know, we're in this multiverse. And so we just discovered that we got to talking about different places to eat in Little Rock. What's the best place? And then so my wife said, the best pizza place is Shotgun Dan's. And then Carolyn said, what? Yes, Shotgun Dan's. Oh, I love you. Give me a hug. And so they hugged over pizza. Praise God. And so we talked about some other things. And just through conversation, realized that his grandfather and my grandfather both had the same name, Harry Noble. And so just incredible. So, Pastor, thank you so much for allowing me to be here and to worship with you all and this great North Star Baptist Church, praise the Lord. And so it's just good to be here, and we're just so grateful and so thankful. And so I greet you all the way from South Kakalaki. Amen. Praise God. Amen. That's my amen corner over there. I already figured it out. Praise God. South Carolina, from Anderson, South Carolina. And so I greet you from Kingdom Community Church, church plant. We're 2 years old, and so we're growing and building a multi-ethnic church, one that looks like heaven, just like here, and so it is a real blessing to be here. Well, let's hasten to the Word of God. I'm excited. You all are going through the book of 1 Corinthians, and I just want to pick up where your pastor left off on last week, a powerful message that he preached on last week. And I'm going to begin at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning at verse number 35. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning at verse number 35, all the way through the end of the chapter, verse 58. I'm reading from the New King James rendering of the text. And the Bible says, "But someone will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. And what you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he pleases. And to each seed its own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of animals, another of fish, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is of the Lord, is the Lord from heaven. And as was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Verse 50, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our pathway. And we're so thankful, God, that your word is settled in heaven. It is our faith and practice, and we're thankful for it. You have preserved it over more than 2,000 years, and it is still timely and timeless, and we thank you. And so now encourage us through the preaching of your word, that we might be hearers and doers of your word. It's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Did a pastor ever share with you all why we keep water in the pulpit? It's so that the message won't be dry. Praise the Lord. Amen. So y'all pray with me as I preach this message. Well, first of all, there's great victory on yesterday with the homecoming game of Virginia Tech. And we thank God for that victory. Yes. Amen. So now you do notice that on every jersey, there's something similar that each player has on its jersey. Now, they all have different numbers, same colors, but there's something else that each player has on his jersey. And that is the Nike symbol. The Nike symbol. That's exactly right. It's the swoosh. Well, can I tell you the story of the Nike symbol? Well, the owner, Phil Knight, decided he wanted to make a shoe. But he needed a logo. He needed a symbol. He needed something to put on the shoe. And he came up with the idea that he wanted to call the shoe a Dimension 6. So can you imagine now wearing shoes that's called Dimension 6? No, nobody can do that, right? No. And so he called a friend. He says, hey, man, he says, I want to make this shoe, and I need a symbol, I need a logo. So his friend says, hey, let me pray about it. Let me think about it overnight. I don't think he said pray, but, you know, we're Christians. He said, let me think about it overnight, and I'll get back with you. And so the next day, he calls him. He says, hey, man, how about a swoosh symbol? He said, we can call it Nike. And Phil was not pleased with it at all. He didn't like it at all. But now let's fast forward. Nike is worth $118 billion. An annual income of $50 billion. So you think Phil is happy with this Nike symbol? But here's the important thing about the Nike symbol. It's from the Greek goddess Victory. So Nike means victory. We're going to see that word, victory, here at the end of our text. But it means victory. But I want to help you to understand, my friends, yes, Nike may be worth this amount. But can I share something with you? You are worth more. You are worth more than Nike. And you will have a greater victory than Nike. Because God has invested himself in you. You are the imago Dei of the one true living God. You are the apple of God's eye. Listen, my friends, never get discouraged about how God made you. God created you very special, very unique. There are no two hand fingerprints that are the same. Listen, you are uniquely made by God. And so don't be discouraged of how God made you. You are valuable to God, and God has a future for your life. As a matter of fact, there's going to be a payday someday for you. Just like Phil is getting a great big payday. But listen, my friends, your payday is going to be greater because of what God has done for you in your life. My friends, we serve the one true living God, and there will be a payday someday. As a matter of fact, that is the title of this message, is Payday Someday. Payday Someday. Now, the title is not original. The title really comes from R.G. Lee. Back in the 1920s, he became the pastor of a Bellevue Baptist Church. Southern Baptist Church is in Cordova, Tennessee, one of the largest churches there. And so he preached this message entitled Payday Someday, but he used a different text. He came from 1 Kings talking about how Christians would be persecuted. He talked about there's going to be a payday someday. Well, listen, my friends, God will give us a payday someday. Now, before we get ahead of ourselves, there's something that we need to understand that's working against us. That is our body. Our body is working against us. And this is why Paul, he comes along and he says that someone is going to ask the question, how are we raised? How are our bodies raised? And then Paul, being as bold as he is, I would never call anybody foolish. But Paul says, foolish one. He says, you're foolish. He says, what you sow is not made alive until it dies. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that judgment. So your body will die. And so Paul says here that he comes and he attempts to help us to understand that if your body is not changed before it dies, you will not see the kingdom of God. He says it in verse 50. He says here, now this I say, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. And so then Paul goes through 35 through 49, and he begins to talk about how our body is. He says that there are many different things that they have different bodies and they have a different glory. And then he comes to our natural bodies and he says that your body is physical. It's corrupted like a virus in a computer. He says it's corrupted, it's dishonored, and it's weak. And who does he give as an example? He gives Adam as the example. You know what happened to Adam. Adam in the Garden of Eve, he sinned against God. God kicked him out of Eden. And then now everybody born is born in sin and shaping in iniquity. And my friends, our bodies, they have to be changed. And then Paul goes on in verse 46 and 45 and 47. He talks about Adam as our example. But then he says that the only help for our pitiful state is to be resurrected. He says to be resurrected. And he says that a resurrected body, what? It's raised spiritual, uncorrupted, with honor and power. And who does he give as an example? Jesus our Lord. He says Jesus is our example. And he talked about how Adam was the first man who was made of dust. And God says there's no good thing in dirt. But what did he do? He breathed the breath of life in us. And he begins to talk about Jesus. He is the second man. He was born from heaven. He was born from heaven. And he says that he becomes the life-giving spirit. See, this is the change, praise God, that your body is going to have to make. It's going to have this heavenly, life-giving spirit on the inside of it. And so, my friends, Paul here says that the problem is that we were made natural first and then spiritual. That's the problem. Natural first, and he says that our natural bodies cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So there's going to be a payday someday. There's going to be a payday, my friends, and your payday is coming soon. And so what changes can we expect from God that will help us to experience this change in our bodies? Well, Paul begins to talk about it here in verse 51 through 54. And really what he's talking about is that you will have a new body. Praise God. He says you will have a new body. And he begins to talk about it. He's in 51. He says, behold, he says, I want to tell you a mystery. I want to tell you a hidden truth, a secret. And he says here that we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In other words, some will die and some won't. He says we will not all be sleeping. So what happens here is that he says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will raise incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And so the first thing is that our bodies, the dead, will resurrect. And those who are living will rise. The dead will resurrect, and those who are living will rise. We see this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where Paul talks about how that the trumpet will sound, the archangel will come, and the trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and those who will remain will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And so, my friends, we will have a new body. How will it be? It will go from corruptible to being incorruptible. In other words, it will go from mortality to immortality. So in other words, you as believers in Christ will never die. Hallelujah. You will never die, my friends. Your body will be changed. And I like what Paul, I like this word that he uses here in verse 52. He says, you will be changed, what? In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Now, everybody, look at me. Now, blink. The twinkling is quicker than a blink. You will be changed quicker than a blink. When Christ comes and he changes your body, you will be changed instantly. Praise God. Hallelujah. I won't have any more aches in my body. Praise the Lord. My wife has a dentist appointment. But guess what? No more dentists will be needed. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. That back problem, that back pain that you have, you won't have that back pain anymore. Praise God. Listen, I hope that when I get there, I'll have my hair back. Praise the Lord. Amen. We will have new bodies. Guess what? God in this new body, he will dry up every tear from your eyes. Praise the Lord. We, my friends, will have a new body. Praise God. So let me ask you a question. Have you received this life-giving spirit? You don't want to die in your physical, natural body. Because if you do, your flesh will not see the kingdom of God. And there is a place for all those who will not receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, and it is called hell. And I don't wish that on my worst enemy. I want them to know who Jesus Christ is. But friends, but listen, you cannot see him in your natural body. You have to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You need the life-giving spirit, this heavenly spirit in your body. All those who receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to indwell them, and he is with them forever. He becomes the earnest redemption of those who love Christ Jesus. Payday is coming someday. Your payday is coming. He has a new body for you. Praise God. But not only that, my friends, but your debt will be paid. Your debt will be paid. Notice 55 here. He says, O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory. There's that Nikeo, that Nike, right? Victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, my friends, what happens is your debt, you don't know what your debt is because of the sin of Adam and now all of us born in sin and shaping in iniquity. You know what our debt is? Death. We all deserve it. We all deserve it. So the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And so death here, because of what Jesus has done, death is now destroyed. You remember when they hung him on a cross and he died on that cross, what, for the sins of the world? He had the sins of the world on his shoulders. He died for us. The four most important words in the Bible, Romans 5 and 8, Christ
died for us. And when he died, my friends, he took Satan's greatest weapon, which is death. He took Satan's greatest weapon. And then he also, but we need to understand, though, that death does not send a person to hell. It's a sin. Sin sends people to hell. And notice what Paul says here that Christ will do. He says not only is death destroyed, but sin becomes stingless and the law becomes powerless. None of us can what? Keep the law. Only Christ could do that. None of us is without sin. Only Christ did that. And so here he says that the sting of death is sin and the strength of sin is the law. See if I can illustrate it this way. There's a family of bees that is stingless. Family of bees that is stingless. It's not that they don't have a stinger because they have a stinger, but the stinger actually they are highly reduced and cannot be used for defense. And so these family of bees that are stingless are really called honeybees. And so what happens here is that when we illustrate this to what Jesus did, Jesus took the sting from death, Satan's greatest weapon, and made it harmless. So death for the Christian is like a stingless honeybee, praise God. Death becomes sweet like honey for the believers, praise God. Amen. He takes the sting out of death so that when we die, we are in the bosom of Abraham, praise God, where there's peace and joy forevermore. This is what Jesus did for us, my friends. It is saying here, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, praise God. And my friends, that is good news. That is good news. And so it is because of Christ and what he's done to change our bodies when we accept him, when we receive him, and then death becomes no more for the believer. And so for believers, my friends, death is stingless and sweet like honey from a honeybee. Praise God. Listen, I don't know about you, but I'm waiting on that day. It's appointed that a man wants to die, and then after that judgment. But listen, for all believers, we go and we go to be with our Maker, our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. Payday is coming someday. Payday is coming someday. But my friends, but there's one other thing here that I think we need to understand if we're going to realize that payday is coming someday, and that is your work will be rewarded. Your work will be rewarded. Look at verse number 55. It says here, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Your work, my friends, for the Lord Jesus Christ will be rewarded. It is never in vain. God says that he will never forget your work and labor of love. God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love and how you minister and do minister to the saints. Praise God. Hebrews 6 and 10. Listen, God is coming back, my friends. And the Bible says Jesus has a reward in his hand. He's coming back to reward all of those who served him. And notice how Paul says that we ought to serve him, knowing that our labor is not in vain. He says here what? First of all, to be steadfast. To be steadfast. That word steadfast, it means to be firm or fixed or immovable, similar to the word, to the next word that Paul talks about, but differently, and I'll explain. But he says here that to be firm, fixed, or immovable. So in other words, steadfastness implies being fixed in purpose. Being fixed in purpose. And so it means really to be settled about the purpose of the gospel. To be settled in the purpose of the gospel. And Paul here, he even explained it in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 11. He says here that it was God who saved me. And after he saved me, then he called me to preach the gospel. So in other words, my friends, when God saved you, he saved you with a purpose. He saved you with a purpose, and it is to be his ambassadors in the earth. It is to be the hands and feet of Jesus in the earth. And so with this word steadfastness, it means to be settled. Be settled in what the gospel has done in your life. So in other words, you have been saved to serve. You've been saved to serve. The gospel saved you, and now you are to serve because of the gospel. We don't work our way into salvation. We don't work our way into the gospel. No, the gospel came to us. For by grace are you saved through faith. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we don't work our way into salvation. But once we're saved, what? God wants to now use us. And so we should be settled in the gospel, settled in the fact that, yes, God called me to serve in his kingdom. But he also says what? To be immovable. Now, this word immovable, similar to steadfast, but has a different context. While steadfast is to be settled in purpose, this word here, immovable, means to be settled in its place, not to be moved from its place. So from position to place. And so here, immovable, and it's interesting too that this word immovable is only used right here in this text in the Greek New Testament. It's not used any other time. So it's only used here. So I think Paul is trying to make a very pivotal point in the lives of the Corinthians. And so he says here to be what? To be still. To be still. And I think this is why Paul says that I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. And so, my friends, we need to be settled and to be still in the fact that it is the gospel that saves. It is the gospel that saves. Nothing else can save us. Nothing else. No one else can save us. Moses couldn't save us. No. The prophets couldn't save us. No. The 12 apostles cannot save us. Paul cannot save us. Muhammad cannot save us. Buddha cannot save us. Confucius cannot save us. There is no one else that can save us except Jesus Christ alone. He is the only one that can save us, my friends. So in other words, there is nothing that compares to the gospel. Nothing. And we need to be fixed on that and settle that in our minds and to be still, see the salvation of the Lord, because it is him, praise God, from whom all blessings flow. It is him from which eternal life comes. It is him, my friends, that will give us a payday someday when we serve him. Our service is not in vain. So to be still, because nothing can take the place of the gospel. But then lastly, Paul says here, to be immovable. And then he says what? Always, not sometimes, not a few times, not every other week, but always abounding in the work of the Lord. This word abounding here, it really means to be, in other words, to be superior. So to be settled, to be still, and be superior. And it means really to be the better. Be the better. I remember when I was in Memphis, Tennessee, left Arkansas, went to do my MDiv at Mid-America Baptist Theological Seminary in Cordova, Tennessee. And I was working at a place called Medtronic. And there was this Asian woman. She'd been working for Medtronic for almost 20 years. And I was talking to her one day, and she says, you know,
that I've been working there almost 20 years. I've never missed a day. Never called out. And I've never been late. That's abounding. That's being the better. And my friends, as Christians, and then she was a Buddhist. Tried to witness to her with the gospel. But the point is this, is that as Christians, we need to be the best employees ever. We need to be the best student ever. We need to be the best member of this church ever. We need to stand tall above any and everybody else, not in pride, but in humility, knowing that it is God who's working in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Let me see if I can illustrate it this way. My wife has loved to garden. And so we have this garden bed out front of our home. And it has some little short bushes and several and a couple of more. And she planted a lily, an Easter lily. And this lily comes back every year. And so when it starts as just a little bulb in the ground. And the bushes are overtaking the little bulb. You can't really see it. You can't see it from the street. But then the lily begins to grow. And the stalk begins to grow. And it grows higher than the bushes. And then it begins to bloom. And with its white, beautiful petals. And to me, the lily is saying, wow, look at me. Look at the work that I've done to stand taller than the bushes. I can even be seen now from the cars driving by and the neighbors walking by. Look at me. I am bigger and better. Set your attitude when it comes to serving God, being better and better. Abounding and abounding and abounding more and more. Why? Because your labor is never in vain. My friends, listen, there's a payday someday. And listen, whatever God pays, it is right. Praise God. Whatever he pays, it is right. So my friends, you need to be settled in who you are, settled in where you are, and settled in the fact that you can do more for the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why Paul says, always abound, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Praise God. And so, my friends, this is why we will one day, praise God, receive our payday. These reasons are true because of the victory, praise the Lord, that we have in Jesus Christ alone. There it is, that victory, that nikos, my friends. We will have victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to know how and why we will have victory in the Lord Jesus Christ? It's because he was our example. He came through 40 and two generations, walked the dusty streets of Jerusalem, healing blind eyes and making lame legs walk. He was there to do his Father's will. He says, if you can't believe the works that I'm doing, at least believe the one that sent me, praise God. Listen to my friends, and he served his Father, healing blind eyes, making lame legs walk, praise God, raising the dead. He served his Father. He served his Father all the way up to Golgotha Hill, praise God. Why? Because he knew that a payday was coming someday. They marched him, praise God, from judgment hall to judgment hall through a kangaroo court. He knew that one day payday was coming. They beat him. They whipped him. They ripped out his hair. They tore his clothes, whipped him with a cat of nine tails. My friends, listen, his body was beaten and bruised, but he knew one day
payday was coming. And when they hung him up on that cross, my friends, they hung him high and they stretched him wide, put a crown of thorns on his head, pierced him in the side. Blood and water came streaming down. He knew that payday was coming someday. And it was on that cross where he said, "Father, I commit my spirit into your hands." And he laid his head in the locks of his shoulders and he died. He died on that cross, my friends. And they took him down off of that cross, placed him in Joseph Arimathea's new tomb. He knew payday was coming. He was there all night Friday night. He was there all day Saturday. He was there all night Saturday night. Early Sunday morning, God came with his payday. He rose from the grave with all power in his hands. And now, my friends, he became Lord of Lords. Praise God. He became King of Kings, my friends. And you know the story. He showed himself to his disciples, showed himself to about 500 disciples, and then he ascended on high, sat down at the right hand of the Father. And because he did it, because it is finished, my friends, guess what? Your payday is coming, because he says, "I'm coming again. I'm going to return." And he says that where I am, there you may be also, praise God. And listen, my friends, he says that I go to prepare a place for you, and that where I am, there you may be also, praise the Lord. My friends, he's coming back. He came first as a suffering servant, but he's coming back now as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, praise God. And we ought to realize that he is the great I am. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is Jehovah Shalom. He is Jehovah Sitkanu. He is the great I am. He's Mary's baby. He is the lily of the valley. He is the bright and morning star. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is, my friends, the one that's coming back. And you have a payday that's coming. You'll be changed in a twinkling of an eye, praise God, and you will have a new body. You will have a new home. You will have a new purpose, because God is God and Jesus is God Almighty. Come on, give God glory in the house today.
We're so glad you found this message today. You can find more resources, including previous podcasts, at northstarfamily.org. Thanks again for listening, and we hope to see you next time at North Star Church.